story now about the power of family and history and the divides in both of those. Tess Taylor is white. She's a poet from California who writes a lot about family. Here's an excerpt. Off a dirt road, in iron light, in the mountain graveyard, her clan settler stones grow up with moss, thick as the harmonies in shape note tune. Among mushrooms, ivy, rhododendron are tracings, the shadowy foundations of the cabin where she persevered and died. Tess Taylor has been searching for her roots for much of her adult life. So has Richmond, Virginia writer Gail Jessup White, who is older than Tess Taylor, and Gail White is black. Tess goes back to Thomas Jefferson's great-great-grandson, a man named Moncure Robinson Taylor. His brother is the great-great-grandfather of Tess. Gail goes back to the 1800s, when Moncure had a relationship with one of the family's slaves, and Eva Robinson Taylor came into the world, Gail's grandmother. Tess Taylor and Gail Jessup White shared their past and their infectious enthusiasm about the present and the power of family reunion they have discovered together.
I was really excited to meet Tess. I wanted to know if her family looked like mine, if her father looked like my father, for example. My father had a very distinctive look. He was tall. He had red hair. He had high cheekbones. He had freckles. He had that Jeffersonian nose, which sort of has a protruding bridge, which we've agreed is attractive on men, not so on women. So Tess and I are glad we don't have that nose. So I wanted her to help me unravel the secrets of my family.
Did you have any, Tess?
I guess for me, when you grow up with this history of slavery in your family, one of the things that you may think about, whether it's subliminally or openly, is that, you know, given the culture of the South in the past, it's highly probable that you have cousins and family that you will never know about. And, you know, the Randolph Jefferson family has made a very big project over many generations of writing itself down deliberately, of crafting these very elaborate written genealogies. And so I've been haunted for a long time by the sense that those genealogies, while elaborate, are also incomplete. So when Gail contacted me with a reference to a very specific ancestor, John Charles Randolph Taylor, who is my ancestor, and she had done this work tracing herself and her family back to a certain household, I was really intrigued and actually delighted. And it sort of felt like a sense of relief, like, oh my goodness, I'm going to get to meet this person that I suspected existed, but, you know, never knew I was going to meet.
And then you did.
We did. And here's the difference in our experiences. I didn't suspect that I had white cousins. I knew it. What's different is when you get a chance to meet that white relative. And in addition to that, when that person is receptive, as was the case with Tess, to meeting, because some white families are uncomfortable with it. In my own family, it was very difficult and painful for my father to talk about his mother's birth. He didn't know much about her. She died when he was 5 years old, but he always assumed that she had been compromised in some way, that it had been non-consensual sex. I have since come to believe, having experienced this research with the help of Cinder Stanton, who was with the Thomas Jefferson Foundation, that it was not just sex, that she was not compromised, that she was not raped, but that, in fact, she had a love relationship with one Moncure Robinson Taylor that lasted for 20 years. And there's lots of circumstantial evidence to indicate that that was the case. So that's really part of what the discovery has been in this process, to hear how Tess feels about it as a person who comes from a different race, from a different part of the country. There's a generational difference between us. I hate to admit this, but Tess is 20 years younger than I am. So we're learning from each other. This is a learning process for us, and one that we would like to share with other people.
It's really interesting because Gail is looking for traces of a family that wasn't written down because my ancestors didn't see fit to write down the lives of those people. And for me, my parents are both historians, and the fact that that kind of historical inequity sends its roots into the present is just something really painful. It's not something that you can erase, you know, by willing it away. Those records are radically incomplete. So I just wanted to say what happened was I've written a book of poems about this, and Yale contacted me through a note in Publishers Weekly, and I looked her up, and we started talking, and the cool thing was we seemed to like each other and to get along. And, you know, now it's been, what, a year of conversations?
Just about a year, yep.
So, and I think we've, now this is our third meeting.
That's right. I told Tess I see more of her than I see of my son, my sisters.
Yeah.
And it is a beautiful thing, actually. It is this exchange we have, this getting to know each other, this sharing our history, our shared history, crossing racial lines to be as open and as honest as we can under the circumstances. I think that I hold back a little bit. But that would happen naturally with a new relationship anyway. And that's what we're working through.
You've said that part of what this relationship means is an affirmation that you can be free of the sense that, and this is no justification for slavery, but that all the relationships that took place during slavery were not brutal and vicious, that the creation of life out of that horrible period in American history also included love. It included people who really related to each other, who cared for each other, who regarded each other, and that somehow that needs to get recognized without, you know, justifying a period that we all want to forget.
Well, I try to look at this, that period, because I love history. So I try to look at it with some dispassion, which is really hard. There's no one here now to blame for what happened, for an old and painful and horrible American history. I'm not angry about that history. I want to admire Jefferson for the foundation he set for this country. On the other hand, he was a slave owner. He was a hypocrite. Tess has written in one of her poems, it's one of my favorites, "Oh, Jefferson, you hypocrite." I'm paraphrasing, but...
"You make me tired. Like Whitman, you contradict yourself."
I love that. So I have to work through that as I think about my own family's history and how I feel about American history.
History is heavy. Hmm. Even for a young poet like yourself, out in California, as far away from all this slavery business as you can get. But there it is, coming home to roost.
Yeah, this has been a really interesting journey. I did grow up in California. I went to Berkeley High. I didn't think very much about this Jefferson connection. It was sort of something my grandfather was into. And I think when the Hemings news got broken in the late 90s, I was writing a paper about how Wall Street had conveniently forgotten the African burial ground. And I was struck with this incredible sense of the irony that I had somehow, you know, at 22 years old, managed never to think about the history of slavery in my family. And I was really struck by how little I knew about that institution as it had been practiced in my family from 1670 to the Civil War. And I really wanted to learn more. So when I got my, you know, land legs as a journalist, I went off and wrote some proposals and spent some time at Monticello working with Cinder Stanton and some of the top historians and archaeologists who are working to reconstruct that history. And what really hit me about it was how partial it is, how much more we're learning and how much more we're learning to name and claim, but how imperfect the records are of what actually happened.
I've got a weird question for both of you.
Oh, boy.
You know, you're different because of an accident of timing and an accident of DNA on some level. You've come together in this interesting moment and interesting relationship and experience and exploration of history. If you could trade places on some level, what is it about Tess that you would most want to have experienced in your life that you haven't? And what is it about Gail, Tess, that you would have wanted to experience that you never had in your life?
That is a really interesting question.
It is good. And
I can answer that.
Because I've actually thought about this. Tess has a fearlessness. To me, she can take risks that when I was 35 years old, 36 years old, I was unwilling to take. Tess is recently back from India with her two-year-old. I would never have taken my two-year-old to India because I would have been afraid that something was going to happen to him, to us, to me. And I think some of that has to do with, quite frankly, the freedom, the privilege that comes with being white. As a black middle-class person, I felt a bit inhibited. I always thought that the plane would fall out of the sky, or the ship would sink, or something was going to happen that wouldn't allow me to have a comfortable life. I was seeking comfort and afraid to take risks. And I think that's part of the black experience, the African-American experience. And that's one thing I'd like to have that Tess has.
You can see it in her?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Tess?
Well, I admire a lot about you.
Let's hear that.
Okay.
I like that.
I think Gail has enormous sensitivity. I see her, she's incredibly diplomatic, but also really kind of saying, look, I see it this way. This is my perspective as a black person. This is my perspective from where I come from. I want to help you complete the story. You know, as a white person, you have the option to just kind of forget, not know, tune out. And I think that that happens at the micro level in so many different ways. It's actually hard for me to be even begin to bring them up. When you ask me, what do you think I miss? I'm sure I'm missing things all the time.
And that's the thing. When you're black, you don't miss it. You're always aware. Race is always there. It is always a presence. When I walk out the door, I am very aware of what I look like. I'm aware of how people are going to perceive me. I'm careful about how I present myself. I always want to put my best foot forward all the time.
And that's a good thing. But do you ever wish to yourself, hey, could we just pause the sensitivity, have to think about this every single day thing?
Yeah. Of course. Wouldn't life be so much easier? I mean, I don't want to have to be aware of that all the time. I feel anxiety for my son that I've probably passed some of this on to him because I have this extraordinary son. He's a senior at MIT. He's about to graduate. He's a nice kid. He's smart. He's thoughtful. He holds doors open for people. He loves his mother. He's about 6'1", broad-shouldered, beautiful, rich-colored skin. And when people see my son, I know they stereotype him. So every day, I'm worried that something horrible is going to happen to my son because some wicked person has stereotyped him. And I use that word deliberately, wicked. And no mother should have to endure that. But African-American mothers do every day. And I don't think Tess has that experience.
To both of you, and to wind up here, you seem to have a kind of sisterly bond. What do you think that sisterly bond says about America today, about race today, about what we should aspire to in this country in terms of our interactions?
Well, I think sisterly bond is pretty strong. I have two sisters, so I know what that bond feels like. But I do think that we have an opportunity and are developing a bond and a good relationship and a relationship that is allowing us to be as open and as free as we possibly can under the circumstances.
Tess?
I feel like we have a good bond, and I feel that this conversation is great because we're enjoying having it, partly because of what we're saying, and partly because I think it feels joyful to believe that it's a possible conversation. The content of the conversation is interesting. rich, but there's also in me a sense of, hey, we can do this. We can talk. We can learn about each other. We can like each other. And that feels joyful to me. So thank you, Gil.
Yeah.
Tess Taylor is the author of a collection of poetry, The Forage House. And Gail Jessup White is a communications consultant who lives in Richmond, Virginia. They are related through the Thomas Jefferson family line.